from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad with myself, Eric Wiltshire, Rachel Branston and Lee Banks. And we've had, dun dun dun, another numpty report about Facebook.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Oh look, there is a connection.
Is there?
Yes. It says academics at Princeton University. And am I not wrong in thinking the one the other week that's been totally refuted was done by academics? And you know,
what's are done by academics? Because they are people who look at things academically and come up with...
No, this one has worked it out by mathematics. Right, thank you. That said it all. So they've done this calculus, and they've worked out that by 2017, there'll only be 20% of the people that are using Facebook still there, because calculus says so. What a load
of
dribble.
A lot of people will be dead, so forget that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that use Facebook who are older will have died and won't be using it anymore, so take that away. The other thing that bothers me about this is there not a better use of funds, of research money,
than
to do this crapola?
I think research into things like Facebook is a very, very important thing for academics.
Well, do you know what? I don't like you anymore, and I will never speak to you again.
Fair enough. At least I get a word in. And it's... if you think about Facebook, it is for middle-aged people now. It's not for young people.
Rubbish.
That's not true.
It's for middle-aged people. It is such...
That is such rubbish. Friends.
Young
people only use it as a weapon against each other.
No.
Yes, they do. Oh, no. Look at the news this week about what's happened through Facebook.
Rubbish, rubbish, rubbish and more. Do you know, I've got this theory, and this kind of fits into this section quite well. Because have you noticed how the music was always better at the point where people were late teenagers?
Yes.
I don't know what you mean.
Sorry?
I don't know what you mean. That's a reasonable request.
He's never a late teenager. He was always an on-time teenager.
Well, what you mean is, like, if you were a young person, a young teenager, you had to listen to things like Puff the Magic Dragon, but when you became an old teenager, you listened to things like Led Zeppelin and Cream.
I think when you were a teenager, you were more excited about the music.
If you said that question to Rachel's daughter, she would probably say, "Who are you talking about?" and would answer Professor Green.
I was addressing you. I was using terms that I thought you would understand.
She would. She'd say, "Puff the Magic Dragon." Yeah, I saw that movie, Meet the Fockers. I know what that means.
Yes, exactly. And equally, and I actually genuinely believe this is the same kind of problem. You get these old duffers who call themselves academics, who base their logic and the way they create research on the basis of what they had when they were young.
Young duffers who are so caught up in academia that they've forgotten what planet they live on.
That's true.
What's wrong with academia? This is the thing
nothing,
which created our
nothing,
world.
Nothing. Nothing.
This is what made our world the way it is.
Academia is brilliant for using it in a positive and proactive way in society, as opposed to using it on ridiculous research and wasting money on stuff like social media and Facebook. It's ridiculous. Academia needs to talk about stuff like philosophy and history and everything else. And what's more, academia should be shoveled into the guys, you know, in medical research and all that kind of gear. They don't need to spend time talking about Twitter, Facebook and all the other palaver that goes in between. It's ridiculous.
Most of which are the people who write the research can't even use it.
I think, really, we're missing the whole point of what academia is about. I think what Rachel said is absolutely 100% right, except for, well, no, it can't be 100% right, 99% right, because of one point, that actually academia has to be of the people and for the people. Therefore, it has to investigate and look into things which people are
Hang on.
Facebook.
There's got to be a value add. There's got to be a value add with research.
How
does researching into social media a value add to you, me, and
right, hold on, Rach. Lee, could you just repeat what academia is for?
I've no idea. I'm just rambling. Academia is there to teach the world to be a better place.
In which case, why do academics still use languages like Latin that is worthless to anybody?
Because it's a history. Because also academia is there to continue and perpetuate the history of the world.
That's actually true too.
All right.
Hey, see me and Rachel again.
Well, anyway, I don't think academia should spend any resources whatsoever on commercial organisations unless they're getting paid by the commercial organisation for it, and the money should be used in a better way to buy more stuff, to do
more academic research on things that actually matter.
And according to Lee, teach more people Latin.
Yeah, teach more people Latin, teach more people the history of war, teach more people teach people the history of science. Let people learn from what's happened in the past. It's only learning is looking back and looking forward at the same time. And this kind of research, where normally I would disrespect it with the best of them, but in fact what they're actually doing is looking at what matters to the people, and that's important to the people, therefore is a part of the grand pantheon of the world and the universe, and need has its place.
I've got another idea.
200 years from now, when they're doing an anthropological study on how we used to communicate, that's when this will be.
I've got an idea. This is how it works. Yes. These organisations, these academic places, can now do research onto Facebook. About Facebook, yep.
Yeah.
And they have said that by 2017, Facebook could lose up to 80% of its users.
I said that 5 years ago.
Right. Now, if that's right, in 2017, not the people doing it, but the university gets the money. If they're wrong, they get nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that a fair idea?
No.
It's a fair idea.
No, it isn't.
I like that idea because we know they're going to get nothing because it's not true.
Yes.
Like I said, the people that use it, a good portion of people now, if Lee is to be believed in this notion of his about only old people use it, they're all going to be dead anyway.
Yes.
So then that's illogical. Then people like me who are going to be old will be using it. People like my daughter who use it now will still be using it. It's a perpetual thing. It's going to keep going and going and going and going.
Lee, let me give you some other research for you, Lee. In the mid-90s, there was loads of research done saying the internet with its quick access to news will kill off newspapers. I disagreed, you disagreed, but the academics said it was going to happen.
Yeah, what you're actually doing, both of you, is condemning the right to argue, which this program is all about arguing.
No, I'm not.
What you're actually doing is
removing
the right.
We're not arguing.
You've got to look at the fact of what the critics, the academic critics, have actually said about this research, and I tend to agree with them.
I didn't condemn them. I just said they were incorrect.
Yes. I've got it, Rach.
Their research is based on Google search data. Ridiculous thing to base it on.
Of course, because most people who use Facebook don't use Google.
Exactly.
So it's flawed then.
And what happened to my face anyway? I mean, MySpace.
Exactly.
Well, MySpace was rubbish in the beginning.
It was terrible.
It was indeed terrible. So what we're really saying here is that they've done research not knowing how Facebook users react to Facebook, assuming they're going to use Google, which they don't because it's Bing on Facebook.
Yeah.
So therefore, the whole thing that they're getting paid for is flawed from the beginning because their hypothesis was wrong to begin with.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
It didn't need to be investigated in the first place. It's
correct.
A stupid subject matter.
Yes, exactly.
But that's where I disagree, because it should have been investigated because it is so important to the world. It should have been investigated.
How is it value add? Where is the value add to you and me and Eric right here, right now, that this study was done? There is none. There is money that could have been spent in other areas of academia, which is highly respected, as we've all agreed.
How much do you think they spent on it, Rachel?
Probably 10, 20 bucks, maybe.
Oh, they're looking in. Yeah, exactly. And they're looking into.
Somebody could have had a lunch. They could have fed 30 homeless with that money.
No, do you know what they could have done? I reckon, at the absolute minimum, it's America. And tell me if we're wrong, Princeton University. It's a minimum of $20,000.
I was going to say 20.
Yeah, but they're looking at an industry which is worth $84 billion.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
So what? They're not getting the money from that industry. They're getting the money from people that pay money to research.
Correct.
They could have been researching other stuff. You know what? We're spending far too much time arguing about this. They should give us $20,000.
Or they could have given a free university course to somebody who couldn't have afforded it.
Yeah.
They could have done that, they could have done it, but then they would still be looking into the subjects. And all the only point I'm making is that Facebook is so massive in this world that a different point of view, a different aspect of looking at it is valid, whether you agree with the research or not. And the few grand that they cost them to do is neither here nor there. Mm. And what we're talking about is the fact that I've got a bee in my body about it at the moment, and that is freedom of speech and freedom of representing
no arguments
that go on in this world.
I've got no problem with that.
And to say that this kind of research shouldn't take place is facile.
Okay.
I didn't say it shouldn't. I said it was wasted money. And
correct.
And the amount of money that students have to pay to attend these universities, you can spend that $20,000 on setting up a scholarship fund for somebody under the proviso that they do Facebook research.
Yeah, there you go. Simple as that. I really genuinely hope that this gentleman from Romania has got a Bush decoder, because the only way he could have understood an email written by...
Is he a botanist?
Yeah, I think so. He could have understood an email written by President Bush would be if he got a decoder, because I could never understand a word he was saying.
None of us are fluent in yokel.
He got something, I don't know what it was. Anyway.
I think there's a very important aspect to this story, which is just...
Go on, then.
No, carry on. Don't let me interrupt.
No, you go.
No, I just think it's quite amazing that... Why? More important than anything to do with this story, this is a Romanian who's axed a few people and things like that and got caught. Why was George W. Bush doing the equivalent to selfies of himself naked in the bath?
I have no idea. Anyway, to explain this to the rest of the planet, hold on a minute, guys. Let's explain this to the rest of the planet. This is about a hacker who's been arrested by the Romanian authorities. And one of the places he's allegedly hacked, because we don't know, is emails that were sent by George Bush, or George W. Bush, as he'd like to be known. So he's the hacker, but who cares?
Well, again, I think everybody cares.
Qualify what Lee said before. It's not selfies of himself in the bathtub, because when we know selfies, we know them to be taken on your phone. This is
That's why I said the equivalent to a selfie.
It's an actual painting.
Yeah, I'm quite good with words. I've been using them all my life.
I know. It's get me day. I get it. It's an oil or a watercolour or something. I don't know why you would do that. Maybe I think it's to hide his massive submarine.
Anyway, this guy called Lahal has been nicked for hacking a couple of years ago in 2012 as well. And it's just another... And, you know, it beggars belief in my book that, you know, you've got, in this day and age, it's like everything. If you're going to use email for God's sake, make sure it's secure.
And that's
what,
right.
And what the hell were the agencies doing in America to allow it to be hacked?
Exactly. That was the point I was going to make. And if the president of the United States or a former president of the United States is doing the equivalent to selfies of himself naked in the bath, there has to be something wrong with him. And once again, this hacker, in his own way, has done the world a service by revealing yet again the ridiculous nature of the people who run this world.
Yeah. Or, you know, the fact that I didn't know that he was a painter. I didn't know he had an artistic flair. I think that might be a bit of a... You know, it's 25 years ago today that Salvador Dali died.
I think that
not that I'm comparing George W. Bush to Salvador Dali in any way, but it's just interesting that he can paint. I never knew he could paint. We knew he could golf. Because we had that a lot of footage of him golfing.
That's a very good point, actually. I understand that.
Yep. Okay, guys. Well, I think we'll leave that one there. And I'm going to move on to something slightly more important. Vroom vroom.
The who?
Vroom vroom.
Oh dear! Oh dear!
Vroom vroom. More car jobs in the UK. Oh, sorry, that's the butt of Europe, isn't it? Isn't that the bad place of Europe, Lee?
Well, the thing is, what surprises me over this is that A, Britain did have a massively burgeoning car empire, which it let go. And what it did, it sold all the cars, all the brands like Range Rover, Land Rover, Jaguar, and all the others to these other companies that were not British. And now what these people have done, these foreign companies have done, is bring it back to Britain and make it even better. But Britain, for some inexplicable reason, is bragging that we have our car industry back. We don't. We have a load of people from other countries who've got our car industry and have brought it back to Britain it's a crazy thing. We had people all over the news last night saying what a wonderful thing
but
this
it's
is.
Over 7,000 people they're employing.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not a grand victory for the British car industry. We don't have a car industry.
Well, it is for the workforce, but then I'll have to say, well, then that's the fault of the management in the UK if they can't organise it.
I think you're right. I think that is the nub of this argument. If there is an argument.
If there is an argument. Because it does point to the fact that some countries, sorry, Rach, some countries have car industries, can't run them properly, and when you bring in outside... that was my phone going.
I know, I can hear it.
You can hear my phone going in the background.
That's it.
It's the boss calling me, guys, while I'm on the radio. The fact is that 7,000 jobs is a really good thing.
It is a good thing, but what I'm saying is the principle is that that we are presenting it as something wonderful that's happened in Britain, that's been brought about by the British economy system. If you think about Tata.
Oh, is this the Indian crew?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They've brought in, they brought that place to Britain. And they are now building cars in Britain. That doesn't mean that we are doing it. The profits of this business are going to India.
To them. It's going to the owners of the companies, not. But it's value add to your workforce, but it's not value add to the British car industry.
It's like what's the cars over in Australia? I've forgotten the name of them.
Well, we've got three of them now. There's a red one, a white one, a blue one. it's Holden Ford. Ford with G Toyota. That's about all. But the one that's gone belly up recently that we were talking about was Holden. That's General Motors.
And that's General Motors, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an American company. So
yeah, but it's
really
not American because it was managed by the people in Australia.
Well, not very well.
Well done to the workforce, because more importantly,
if they
are not doing their job properly, then that Sunderland plant wouldn't get the bigger jobs because Nissan wouldn't do it.
and think about like the Midlands and Birmingham and Dudley and places like that that have all suffered and are still suffering from the collapse of the motor industry, like Luton and places like that, all suffering still. And this could go some way to creating a better life for those areas.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. So anyway, we now move on to Numpty of the Week Award, because I like that one. And this week it goes to the Parliamentary Committee in London, who said that the bosses of power companies during the problem of rain and wind, notice, rain and wind, were utterly complacent.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Did I
miss... We're not going to help him on this, are we, Rachel?
Did I miss something here? This was Christmas.
Yeah.
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 The workforce was on holiday.
Right.
Yeah. Mother Nature decides to pour buckets of water on the UK.
Yeah.
Plus Santa Claus causes all that extra wind and vapour with his sleigh.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And blocks your chimney.
Yes. And so
and the reindeer have terrible gas.
Yes. So and you've got...
How they fly, though, Rachel.
Yes, you've got power lines brought down. And to be very honest, I wouldn't trust the CEO of a power company to tune my pushbike bell, let alone reconnect power cables with thousands of volts on them.
Yeah.
So what on earth gives the numpty committee the approval, the right to say everybody was utterly complacent when lovely people gave up their holidays to reconnect houses that had no electricity? Nice people that were on holiday went to fix, you know, different transformer units around the country to help the power go back on. But oh no, it's the boss's fault because it rained and was windy.
Well, you know, the bosses are in control of all weather. We know this to be true.
Right, now I
but
get
all
it.
Bosses everywhere are they have a little panel that controls how much rain. It's like the Truman Show.
Mm.
They have a control for the rain, the thunder, the lightning, et cetera, et cetera. And then they decide when it rains. So that's why they got the blame. That's my theory. I mean, I could be way off Peter Weir's base here.
Allegedly, there was widespread anger about delaying power getting back on during the Christmas period.
Well, there was widespread anger. We suffered
from
it.
But they were on holiday.
Well, yes, but the people, you imagine, they don't get paid minimum wage.
There are people on call, aren't they?
And they don't get paid minimum wage to do it. They get paid a fortune to do it.
No.
That's still
they were on holiday.
But they came out, they weren't getting a fiver to come out. Yeah, come on, lads, put that power back on.
Were these guys on holiday on their Christmas break, the power engineers, yes or no?
Yes, some of them were, not all of them.
Most of them were.
And I don't think for a second they were forced. They were actually forced to come out and do it. They actually were elected to do it. I always used to work on working on daily newspapers. Yep. I always worked Christmas Day, and the reason I always worked Christmas Day was because I only had to work a couple of hours. And I got five times my normal pay. Yep.
Sure,
that's why I do it
but
too.
The point I'm making is, it was Mother Nature that did this. Number
it was.
One, the power company wasn't in control.
Yeah.
Number two, it was a holiday time.
Yeah.
Can't be, you know, they weren't in control.
So you've got skeleton stuff, let's say.
Yeah, you've got skeleton stuff, which is natural. So it means everything's going to take twice as long.
Yeah.
And then the Parliamentary Committee are going, but the level of compensation you've offered to customers is not good. Well, I'm very sorry.
I don't know about much about your politics over there, but I know enough to know that don't they have, like, other stuff that they could possibly be talking about and worrying about.
I quite agree. We move on. I just think you're numpties. You just are not in the real world.
Numpty of the week.
Yes, thank you. Dame Angela Lansbury, to give you two something to talk about.
Good old,
very, very happy lady, because the plan to bring back Murder, She Wrote has been scrapped.
And what a good thing. What exactly? Yes. Exactly, Rachel. What a good thing. Yes. Is so she
when it's done, it's done. When it's done, it's done. And a 90-million-year-old woman cannot dot around a town solving mysteries.
No.
It would take her 75 years to solve one mystery with a little Zimmer frame. Mm. It would be terrible. But also, once a show is done, it's done. It's like the Sex and the City thing when they tried to do the movies. It's done. Mm. People want to bring back the people from Friends to do a reunion. They're all saying they won't do it because it's done. And Angela Lansbury, God love her, it was a gazillion years ago that show finished anyway.
Yes.
And she's gone on to do some fantastic work since. She doesn't need to go back and revisit Jessica Fletcher?
Yeah, something like that.
That name of that character? She doesn't need to go back and revisit that. It's done. She doesn't need to. And to go back and do it again demeans her, demeans the character, demeans the sentimentality of the show.
Exactly. We move on again. A businessman who was initially arrested and charged and taken to court has been found innocent. This is a man who went to a property that he owns to find these two blokes breaking into it. One of them had got a rather large lump of wood, so he picks up a large lump of wood, bashes this bloke, the robber, with his large lump of wood, and for some reason broke his legs. Oh,
he broke his legs and broke his arm as well.
Yes.
He said, you know, there is a point you have to accept that, like, defending your property and the law states that you have to use reasonable force.
Correct.
And I think it was quite reasonable for the police to look into the fact that one bloke had got both his legs broken and his arm, and somebody else was pinned to the floor.
You do realise we could have saved probably, I don't know, police time, court time, how much would that be? Probably about £250,000 in real terms.
We could have saved. To be locked into?
No, it didn't. Solution. If they didn't try and rob the ruddy house, there wouldn't have been a problem in the first place. It's the robber's fault.
Exactly. It makes me think about that business in Florida with George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
The Stand Your Ground defence, and they've just had another story on about it today. Another Stand Your Ground defence, and yes, people abuse the Stand Your Ground defence in this particular part of America, and they certainly take it upon themselves to beat the living out of whoever they like.
Yeah.
And
well,
then you stand
this
your ground.
Shot if you've been a kid.
If you're being threatened, yeah, he did, and it was he got off, and that was wrong. I disagree with what happened with that case.
Mm.
But in this particular case with these guys, if I got home and somebody was okay, no. If Rob got home, no, that's not even going to work either because he's a pacifist. Oh. If somebody really angry got home and big got home, and there was a 2x4, and people were breaking into his house, and he really didn't want his plasma stolen, and he just went absolutely rampaging, mad, angry.
Mm.
I could see one guy beating the out of a couple of other guys in a fit of rage just to protect his property. And, you know, that's fine. But you see cases in America all the time where somebody breaks into somebody's house, trips over and bashes their head,
mm-hmm.
and then sues the owner of the property for an injury sustained to their head and wins. It's ludicrous.
Anyway, I've got to say, we're about the end of the program.
Yeah.
I've got to say, at the end of the program, good luck to a group of people. I think they're wonderful. 400 people are going to attempt to teach teachers how to use computers. I can only say to you all, good luck. I would get some anti-stress pills before you do it.
Just have a Valium milkshake in the morning.
Yeah, something like that. And don't forget, as Lee's been explaining, they are academics, therefore they'll ask you the most stupid questions whilst you're trying to train them.
And I would like to say at that point that you must remember that teachers are teachers because they can't do the job practically.
At which point we have to say goodbye, everybody. Thank you for your company today. Say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, everybody.
Say goodbye, Rachel.
Rachel.
And for me, Eric Wiltshire, we'll see you the same time, same channel next week. Thank you very much indeed for your company. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.